Dynasty Refinery Podcast, your home of in-depth dynasty analysis with your host, Michael Royer, and co-host, Jared Fox. Prepare for content to drop in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Dynasty Refinery Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Royer. Joining me as always, my co-host, Jared Fox. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Mike. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. You know, we're going to talk about the tight end landscape today, but speaking of tight ends, you know, how did you enjoy doing that video in your cheerleading outfit?
It was humbling, Mike.
It was humbling?
It was very humbling.
You know,
I had a good time with it, though.
It was about 500 people saw it so far on Twitter, and, you know, there's been a lot of interesting remarks on that. And next time we have Deal or Duel, you know, I'll give you a shot at redemption.
The hardest part wasn't the script, though. It was getting that dress on and off. That was definitely the hardest part.
It's tough getting it over the hips.
I felt buff, though. You know? I felt buff. It was like a sleeveless. It hugged nice. It was like wearing an Under Armour, you know?
Yeah. I mean, don't wear it too often, but, you know, it's a nice little secondary outfit. So what we're going to do today is we want to talk about the tight end landscape. And I know some people might say, well, you know, we got the rookie draft coming up, and that's right around the corner. And that's why we actually want to talk about it today. There's a lot of people right now that have third-round picks, fourth-round picks, late seconds, and they're not quite sure what to do with them. You know, and this year's rookie class is not anything exciting at the tight end position. You know, we have Albert O, Harrison Bryant, Hunter Bryant, Cole Kmet, Thaddeus Moss, Adam Trautman, and Bryce Hopkins. Nobody that super stands out like that was last year. You know, we had Hockenson and Fant and Irv Smith, and there was guys that we were excited about. No one. You know, I'm looking at a lot of drafts. I'm looking at a lot of mock drafts. Nobody has those guys going even in their first two. I've only ever seen Cole Kmet even reach into that second round of rookie mocks, you know. So it's not something that we're super excited about. So we want to give you our ideas of the tight end position, what you'd have to pay to get certain tight ends, because my personal philosophy is when I'm building my teams, that's one of the last things I add, because rookie tight ends usually take a couple years to break out, and you want to buy some veterans to plug into your offense where, you know, some of these veterans can actually be cheaper than what you're doing in the rookie drafts. How do you personally build your teams when it comes to the tight end position?
I mean, with tight ends, I typically just, you know, I try to get the guys that I think are going to do better the following year. So in like offseason like this year, I've been looking at guys like Herndon and, you know, Higby early on, and just dudes that sort of in a sense flew under the radar, had a down year the year before, and I go for those guys. You know, it's not always a good strategy to just get rookies because they never perform their rookie year, so you're probably better off getting, you know, young tight ends like that later on in the season. But yeah, I just always go for those types of guys, and I seem to hit on a lot of them, and a lot of guys do. You know, I've talked to guys that are like, I never overvalue tight ends in drafts because I've picked up so many off of free agents and got so many as just throw-ins and trades that have worked out and been top 10 tight ends that it's just not worth it.
Exactly. In your rookie drafts, you want to focus on those, you know, home run positions, your wide receivers, your running backs. A lot of the times we have a great track record with this. You know, you hit on Waller and Kittle. Last year I hit on Andrews and Hooper, you know, and at the tight end position, it almost seems like it's easy to pick out who's going to be the next breakout star. And we're going to talk about some of those guys here, but let's start with our rankings here. And we broke them down into tiers and what you should be paying in those tiers. So obviously tier one, I only put as two people. You know, it's George Kittle, 26 years old. He's the tight end one overall. You know, 85 receptions, 1,053 yards, and 5 touchdowns last year on 107 targets. And it was 2 years ago where he totally broke out, you know, with 88 catches, 1,300 yards, 5 touchdowns. He's 26, and I have him above Kelsey because Kelsey's 30. You know, Kelsey has had one of the most dominant stretches for that tight end position. He is 30 years old right now, but he's coming off 97, 1,200 yards, and 5 touchdowns on 136 targets in a more prolific offense. You know, and those are the two guys I have in that top tier. I don't think you can, you know, really put those other guys into that same tier at this point. And for me, you know, Kelsey and Kittle in a tight end premium, we're looking at probably having to give up 101, 102 area, you know, which is pricey, which is why I'm not advocating going out and buying these guys unless it's the last piece to your puzzle.
Yeah, especially with Kittle, because he's just like the people's player. You know what I mean? Like, everybody loves him so much.
He's consistently going above the 101 in rookie drafts.
Absolutely.
And in startup drafts, and I just can't see it.
He's going to be really good for a long time. And again, it's like we said, at one point you could have gotten Kittle in a startup for a fourth round pick, or you could have gotten Kittle as a throw in on a trade. I actually made a trade 2 years ago. Maybe it was three. I don't know. But I got, it was Kittle for Devin Funchess, and I got Kittle plus, you know, because, you know, I felt like he was going to be good the next year, and he was just a toss-in. And there's going to be more guys to come along like that. You could have gotten Mark Andrews for next to nothing last year, you know? So, I mean, giving up the 101, it's just harder to you can't get running backs a lot of times, and it's so hard to call running backs that you could take in your rookie drafts at, like, in the third round, or, you know, those breakout guys. It happens with, like, Aaron Jones, Marlon Mack, you know, but it's so much harder than getting a tight end that blows up.
Third, fourth round is a good time to take those guys, you know, and I typically don't like to take my tight ends early in the rookie drafts, but Kittle's a guy that went in the third, fourth round that you could, you know, stash on your bench. And, you know, obviously the next two guys we're going to talk about are kind of the same. So tier two, I also have only as two players. You know, we're looking at Mark Andrews and Zach Ertz. And I actually have Andrews a little bit above Ertz right now, even though, you know, we're Eagles fans, so we love Zach Ertz. And Zach Ertz is coming off, you know, 2 years ago, the phenomenal season of 116 catches, 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns. Last year, a little bit of a downer, you know, as far as he's concerned. He had a little bit of an injury, you know, problem here and there, but 88 catches, nearly 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. I mean, he's locked in as a top 5 tight end year in and year out. But Mark Andrews really, you know, burst onto the scene, and we've been talking about this a lot, but Mark Andrews was a guy last year that I gave up Evan Ingram, who everyone liked, for Mark Andrews in a first, you know, and those things, those kind of moves really pan out when you buy that next guy that's going to break out. And Andrews did, you know, 64 catches, 852 yards, 10 touchdowns on 98 targets. And I have him above Ertz just because he's 24 years old. Ertz is 29. And both of those guys I see in that 105 to 108 range if you're trying to trade for a pick. If you can get him anything later than that, you know, I got Ertz for 112 last year. If you can get those guys later than that, that's fantastic. What are you seeing value-wise here on the board with those
guys? Yeah, I mean, looking at these top four, I absolutely agree with them being split in the two tiers and the exact way you have them ranked here. Kittle, Kelsey in the top tier, Andrews, Ertz, with Andrews above Ertz because of age. Next year, I could easily see in the rankings Andrews and Kelsey being flip-flop just because of Kelsey's age. He's still going to be productive. Yeah. He's still got a few years. But if Andrews does what he did and expands on that this year, which he really should. I mean, Hayden Hurst is gone. He's still their primary offensive weapon, and he's going to be in one of the most powerful offenses in the NFL. I think that next year you're going to be looking at Kittle and Andrews as that top tier. So I guess if I had to buy a guy, I wouldn't hate on you for buying Andrews if you could get him at the right price, because he could go up a little bit.
Yeah, and that's a great, you know, segue in there. Is Andrews is going to be, you know, he's on that next fringe of being like a Kelsey. You know, this past year, most yards off of 20-plus yard receptions, number one in the league was Travis Kelsey, number two, Mark Andrews. You know, those were the only two guys over 200 yards on 20-plus yard receptions. The other two guys, Darren Waller and Dawson Knox, who we're going to talk about a little bit later. And Andrews, you know, led all tight ends in the entire NFL in average depth of target, you know, at 11.8 yards. So he's not just getting targeted in the red zone like some tight ends in the league. You know, there's a lot of guys that don't have a lot of targets. They just get targeted in the red zone. He is a beast in the red zone, obviously, with 10 touchdown receptions. But 11.8 yards as his average depth of target is tops in the league. Just to put that into perspective, Kelsey was at 9.4. The only other guy over 11 yards was Jared Cook, you know, and Jared Cook had a great season, and Drew Brees is not afraid to chuck it to him.
That was
deep to intermediate.
And that was a bit of an outlier there with him. Yeah. You know what I mean? But here's another interesting fact is of all the guys that finished above him, points wise, Evan Ingram, I don't think he finished above him in points wise, but the stats I'm looking at right now, guys like Travis Kelsey, George Kittle, Darren Waller, Zach Ertz, Austin Hooper, and Evan Ingram all finished with more targets per game than him by at least a target or two. Zach Ertz, 3 targets almost more. Andrews only had 6.5 targets a game. So I feel like that number's going to go up, and it's probably going to be closer to like a 9.
And now you have Hayden Hurst, who left to go to Atlanta, and Nick Boyle is more of a blocking tight end, where
absolutely,
Andrews is going to get a lot more opportunities. That, you know, Hurst had 50-some targets last year. I don't see Baltimore investing a lot more draft capital into wide receivers. I mean, they're probably looking at the same type wide receiver core they have right now. And even if Andrews gets 20, 25 more targets there, I mean, we haven't seen his ceiling yet. I feel like this is, you know, he's in that third year. It's time, you know, and we might see him really jump into that second or in that top tier, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. He is the best weapon on that offense. And like you said, even if they do draft somebody, he's still going to be the best weapon in that offense next year, because any rookie wide receiver isn't going to take over that lead role in 1 year.
So let's move on to tier three, which is a pretty exciting tier here. I have tier three as Evan Ingram, Darren Waller, TJ Hockenson, and Noah Fant. So let's talk first, Evan Ingram, you know, 25 years old, coming off two straight injuries, you know, injury last year, injury the year before that, 44 receptions, 467 yards, and three touchdowns, you know, fifth in the league in points per game. Every year he's been top five in points per game. So when he's on the field, you know, and I know we talked about him in our hot takes, you know, that I was saying if he stays on the field, he's the tight end one this year. That's the biggest if, you know. But talent-wise, he's got to be – he would be in that top tier. If he stayed healthy for each of the seasons, he would be up there. Right now you're looking at in 2017 as a rookie, he had the most receptions out of anyone in the last 4 years, you know, with 64 receptions as a rookie. 64, 7, 22, and 6. That's prolific for a rookie in that offense. Daniel Jones, you know, targeted him heavily once he took over. Evan Ingram has that capability of being truly elite tight end, but he has that risk of the injury. That's why I have him in tier three. The next guy, 27-year-old Darren Waller. You know, you had pointed him out last year. The writing was on the wall for him. You know, big athletic tight end. 90 receptions, 1,146 yards, three touchdowns on 117 targets, finishing as the tight end two overall in points total, not points per game, but in total points. I mean, he broke out, and I'm seeing a lot of people selling him on the cheap. You know, I bought him in two different leagues. One of them I got him for, 202 and – 202 and Mecole Hardman for Waller and Mariota in a super flex. Another one I bought him for 208 and I believe 208 and Dawson Knox, who I love Dawson Knox, but I can't see a scenario where Darren Waller does not finish as a tight end one again. And I'm seeing a lot of people saying he's a big time bust potential, and there's no wide receivers there that they brought in over free agency. Yes, they're going to draft a guy, but how many targets are we possibly looking at that Darren Waller's, you know, is going to take away that he's not going to be a tight end one this season?
Yeah, and it's like one of those things that a lot of people are talking about. Are they going to bring in a Judy? Are they going to bring in a Lamb? And I get that, but it doesn't matter, because if they bring in either of those guys, it's not going to take his offensive role away in one year. Maybe in the long term a little bit, but not in 1 year. I understand if you want to sell Darren Waller just because you probably picked him up for nothing, maybe off of free agents, and, you know, he's got all this value now. If you want to make an insulated trade where you're getting a 21 first and like a Herndon or a Knox or something like that, like you did with Andrews last year, I have no problem with that. But no, he's absolutely not a guy I'm selling on the cheap, because he's probably going to be close to what he did last year. I think that also, one thing that might hurt him a little bit is the emergence of Hunter Renfrow, but
yeah, Hunter Renfrow. Those guys did cancel each other out a little bit, but I mean, he's still, you're looking at, a lot of people were saying when Renfrow came on, you know, Renfrow came on late in the season, they were like, he really excelled over the last couple games. And I looked, the final seven games, Darren Waller was also the tight end too, you know, so he was consistent all year long. And, you know, I'm firmly, what you said was a great point, that a lot of people got him cheap. You know, I have him in three leagues where he's my tight end three or four, because I picked him up for nothing. You know, I got him up off free agency, or I traded a fourth round pick for him, and now he's the tight end one, and he's in his prime here. He's 27 years old. You know, he's not turning 28 till next year. So that's usually when tight ends really understand the position and excel in the NFL.
Yeah, and it feels good to cash out on something like that, but don't undersell it just for the sake of cashing out, you know? Yeah. He's still worth just as much as any of these other guys. And like we just said, like a guy like Knox or a Herndon, or I don't know, maybe even a Gesicki if you like him, plus a future first, might be the kind of route you want to take.
These next two guys are super exciting. You know, and it's TJ Hockenson, 22 years old. Noah Fant, 22 years old. You know, Hockenson, 32 receptions, 367 yards, and two touchdowns on 12 games, not all that sexy and exciting, but let's look at Stafford only played 8 games. And during those 8 games, you know, Hockenson was only healthy for 3 of them. So someone was pointing to me out that they thought certain players were better than TJ Hockenson from that class. don't let the tape fool you. The guy was a monster in college. He's playing with Stafford. He was a top 12 tight end when Stafford played, but he was outside the top 20 when, you know, all those extra guys were in there. You know, we had some really poor quarterback play there in Detroit that really killed him. Noah Fant, on the flip side, you know, with his 40 receptions, is actually third best in the last 4 years with 562 yards, like you said, 14 yards per reception, and on 67 targets, which that has to increase, you know. And I know Denver's offense is, you know, we keep talking about how exciting we think that's going to be. You know, they're probably going to draft another wide receiver that's even going to help Fant, because it's going to open it up. You know, they're going to get a deep threat guy. If they get a Ruggs or you know, someone like that, that's really going to extend things and open up the middle of the field for Fant. He's a home run hitting type tight end.
Yeah, and the writing's on the wall with him. We compared him a lot to Evan Engram last year, and that's dead on. He has the ceiling of an Evan Engram. So I think right now is a good time to buy if you can get him for the right price. With Hockenson, he may be the buy if you can get him for cheap, because there is a lot of guys that were disappointed with his rookie year. They value him a lot lower than they should. And in all reality, when you're looking at just the kind of athlete he is close to a Kittle type of player. Whether he becomes that or not, it's yet to be seen. But he is that type of athlete and has that type of ceiling. And I remember after week one last year, remember he had like, what was it, two touchdowns,
yeah,
and over 120
yards.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it
was like, yeah.
And everybody's just like, oh my God, this is the next Gronk right here. Well, he had some
injuries. We were advertising him as a baby Gronk.
Oh,
know?
Yeah,
and,
baby
he's
Gronk.
He's got that.
Yeah, and he had some brutal injuries. And like you said, he lost his quarterback, and his year just didn't go the way it should. Hey, we say it all the time. Forgive rookie tight ends for their rookie year. They don't ever pan out. There's so much to learn as a rookie tight end. You got to learn all the blocking schemes, yeah, and you have to learn all the routes.
Well, and I think that's why Fant and that's why Engram excelled as rookies, because they were more inline wide receivers more so than they were, you know, blocking tight ends. They were out there as that swing tight end in that open area, you know, and that gave them a lot more opportunities to catch passes, where TJ Hockenson's one of the best blocking tight ends in the league, and he stayed in there a lot more, where, you know, and Gronk was the same way, you know, like they didn't always put him out to the outside. He did a lot of things on the line, so.
Yeah, and I think if you can get him, I don't know. I don't even know
right
what
now,
he's going for, like an early second,
what
first? Or
I would be willing to give up anything after 110 for sure. Now I have here late second to 203 range for any of these guys. I bought Fant for the 112 in another league, and I felt great about it, you know, because that's the type of move where if you have the 112, you won the championship last year, and if you can invest in a guy like Noah Fant, who's only going to increase in value. But I'm in my fifth startup of the offseason here, and those guys all go in the same range as rookie picks, 110 to 203. I haven't seen any of them go above where the 110 is, except Evan Engram. I saw him in one draft go that way. And, you know, pretty much all the leagues, I'm in 12 leagues now, and 11 of them are tight end premium, and 11 of them are super flex. So that probably, you know, when we talk about those kind of things, that's what we're always talking about. So
yeah,
if you can get those guys for a late first, early second, or even like a mid second, and you throw somebody in there, you know, try to push one of them vets off your team that's a roster clogger, you know, an Alshon Jeffrey or something like that. Those are moves that I like to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you could get Hockenson for an early second, you know, in the right situation. If you wait till especially you're on the clock in like a rookie draft, somebody's going to be willing to do that.
Yeah.
Fant's a little different. People are a little higher on him
Hockenson,
right now.
You know,
but
you get to 202, 203, and yeah, Rager falls, and some of those other guys, Higgins,
yep,
fall, and you're like, oh, that's my guy. Take advantage of that in the rookie draft, you know. And next week's episode, really excited about that. We're going to talk about, you know, rookie draft strategies. We're going to have a special guest on, so it's going to be pretty exciting. Tier four. Now, this tier, not quite the same kind of sexy names and everything like that, but these guys are grinders. They get it done. And not to be associated with Grindr, the app, but now we got Austin Hooper, 25 years old, you know, 75 receptions, 787 and 6. Did not play a full slate. I believe he played like 12, 13 games. When he started out the first eight games, he was the tight end one, you know, and he carried me in Scott Fishbowl because I got him as one of my late tight ends. And in that league, obviously, is, you know, super tight end heavy. But he finished as the tight end six with 97 targets. Now he moves to Cleveland, which I think a lot of people are really down on, you know, and I'm not 100% sure why. You know, I feel like it's created a buying discount because the Stefanski offense, you know, the tight ends get pretty heavily targeted, you know, especially in the red zone. I mean, Rudolph and Irv Smith were pretty heavily targeted in that red zone area, and that's where Austin Hooper thrives. So I think
they just weren't the same caliber as
right,
him, so you can't even compare it really.
Yeah. The next guy, not a guy I'm big on at all. You know, he's 25. He seems like he's been in the league a lot longer. But Hunter Henry, you know, 55 receptions, 652, 5 touchdowns, 76 total targets. You know, I believe if Tyrod's there, you know, he might target the tight end a little bit more. Maybe a rookie quarterback does. But he's good in the red zone. He's seldom healthy. You know, it's been a major problem of his. And I'm at a point where if I have Hunter Henry on my rosters, I am trying to move him. And I did recently. I actually traded Hunter Henry for – I got Irv Smith in a second, and I was happy with that because Hunter Henry's a guy that – I mean, they take those big guys. Let's look at Gronk. His career ended really early because of injuries. Hunter Henry has a laundry list of injuries.
Now, I was just going to say, tell me if I'm wrong for saying that you should probably move Hunter Henry here, because I don't trust his injuries either. I mean, he stayed healthy for the most part this year, but that might be an outlier here. I'm just so scared, and I've seen him as high as tight end 6 in rankings.
Oh, yeah,
so,
and I'm not even, like, most of my rankings, it's interesting because I try to go based off of value. So, like, I personally prefer the next three guys I have on this list over Hunter Henry, actually the next four. But I feel like value-wise, you can get these next three, four guys. Like I said, Irv Smith, who I'm wild about right now, I got him in a second for Hunter Henry. And I actually like Irv Smith better. If I had to draft and you told me I couldn't trade either of them, I would want Irv Smith over Hunter Henry.
And because Hunter Henry had some production last year where Hockenson didn't, if you can get that straight, that's the kind of move I'm making too. Like,
yeah, for
I
sure.
I would love.
And you
to
look
get
at
Hockenson.
The age, he's 25. I mean, people might not pay attention to where things were in the past. The next guy you and I both love, you know, 27-year-old Tyler Higbee. He was free last year. You could have picked him up off of waivers. You know, he was somebody that I liked coming out of college, but we kind of just soured on it a little bit. 69 receptions, 734, 3 touchdowns, finishes the tight end 7. But it was the final 7 weeks of the year where he finishes the tight end 2, only 4 points behind Travis Kelce. You know, and he just balled out. When they went to when Brandon Cooks got injured and he was pretty much done, and this is what I really want people to listen to, is they went with an 11 personnel and he was out there beasting. I mean, he was putting up during your fantasy playoffs last year, he was putting up in tight end premium 18 to 25 points a game. And he finished as the tight end 7 just off of those games. He finished as the tight end 2. Brandon Cooks is gone now.
Now given
Everett
be in
was
that, hurt for some
correct,
of those games
correct.
Too.
And Everett was a guy that kind of like what we talked about with Noah Fant, wasn't more as much of an inline blocker, more of a swing tight end, and got a lot more receptions and things there. But Higbee is just cheap right now, you know, and right now at 11, I mean, in redraft, I'm taking him 7-8, you know, and I think he is going to have another fantastic year because once they got rid of Cooks, once things, you know, opened up, he was the secondary target behind, you know, behind Cooper Kupp, even above Robert Woods there towards the stretch. He was getting 10, 12, 13 targets a game. I mean, it was Goff was peppering him.
Yeah, and I think Robert Woods will get his.
Yes.
But I really think Cooper Kupp and Higbee have big years here. And I don't know why he wouldn't replicate that success. It wasn't like outliers where he was just getting big plays or, you know, something weird happened. His longest reception was 33 yards last year. So he was just consistently making like 15 to 20-yard catches, and he was getting the touchdowns. He was getting over 100 yards. He was getting, you know, what, 7-8 catches a game. Like, I feel like they just finally realized what they have in Higbee, and they tapped his potential, and I don't see why they wouldn't roll with that. And I think Everett has a little bit of value, too, because with Cooks gone, he should get involved in that swing type of role, like you were saying. But I think Higbee is going to be the man, and I put $25 on him finishing as a top five tight end this year. Now, he's 27, so his dynasty value is slightly limited. But if he finishes a top five tight end this year, you can't tell me that someone isn't going to overpay for him.
For sure. And the league that I have him as a tight end 6 in one of my leagues because I got Waller for free, and then I got Higbee for free last year. And those kind of things, I mean, you're playing with house money. You can play around with those kind of things. I was actually starting him over legit players last year, you know, come down the stretch. He won me championship in two different leagues because I was actually benched. I mean, Ertz was having some injury problems. I benched, you know, some guys that were legit names for Tyler Higbee. And it felt weird at the time, but now it's like, that guy's legit. Let's go with him.
Yeah, and I'm honestly, I'm never one of those guys to say, like, oh, this guy looked good at the end of the year. Like, I'm riding that train into the next year. You hear me year after year
saying
that.
Yeah, but this is a third-year breakout. This isn't, like, this isn't – I feel like this is a guy where the light bulb went off.
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel. It wasn't just luck. Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I don't think this is just, like, some outlier where it happened because of injuries. And like you said, Brandon Cooks is gone now. That's exactly what we wanted to happen.
So the next guy on our list, I think it's going to click this year, and it started to at the end of last year. Absolute freak of a specimen, you know, Mike Gesicki, 24 years old. We both loved him at Penn State. He tested out through the roof at the combine, but was raw. You know, and that first year really was rough. You know, but last year he came on with 51 receptions, 570 yards, 5 touchdowns. But it was over that final 6 games, he averaged almost 5 receptions a game, 55 yards a game, and 5 touchdowns. So he was averaging a touchdown a game, almost 50 yards, or over 50 yards, almost 5 catches. That's a tight end one. He finished his tight end 12. You know, Gesicki, I'm in a startup right now with the Ultimate, you know, podcast league. And I passed on all these guys, but in rounds 10 and 11, I doubled up with Mike Gesicki and Irv Smith, who I think are just oozing with potential. And guys that, if you can get those guys, they're going to be somebody that's going to just continue to increase in value.
Yeah, and I like Mike Gesicki also, especially because he's probably going to get a quarterback upgrade here, and you just never know. I mean, his upside is unlimited. He's got all the talent. I mean, give him like a Tua, you know, or something like that, that could help him even more, where they're getting in the red zone more. He's going to be the target. The dude's, what, 6'6"?
He clicked when Fitzpatrick was the starter, and that's the thing. Like, when Rosen was the starter, no one was clicking, So, I mean, you take these stats and you extrapolate 4.6, you know, receptions and 50 yards a game. I mean, you're looking at a much more impressive season. You know, you're looking more at 800 yards and more like 70 receptions. And now all of a sudden, if he has that kind of season and he's 24, he's in tier 3. And we're talking about him with Hawkinson and some of these other
guys. And
give
him a better quarterback that puts him in the red zone more. Like I said, he's getting more touchdowns. It should be all positive for Gesicki.
Next guy, Dallas Goedert. As an Eagles fan, I'm actually not wild about Dallas Goedert. You know, everybody else seems to love him. He's 25 years old. You know, he had a very good season, 58 receptions, 607 yards, 5 touchdowns on 87 targets. It's tough for me to have two tight ends in the same offense both be top 12.
100%.
You know, because Zach Ertz is getting total disrespect, where I'm seeing people saying Goedert this year should surpass Zach Ertz, and I can't see it. And I'm seeing, I mean, the Eagles are going to get at least one, if not two wide receivers in the draft. Those targets are going to go down in my estimation, or at least capped right there. Unless Zach Ertz gets traded, which isn't happening, or gets injured, Dallas Goedert's ceiling is pretty close to where he's at in the rankings here.
Yeah, last year when they had a lot of injuries, teams and defenses really focused in on shutting down Ertz, because that was the only guy the Eagles had in the receiving game. And when they did that, that left Goedert a little more opportunity. And that's why in games he did look better. But when it came down the stretch, when they needed to win, who was there? Who was putting up the points? It was Ertz. Ertz is clearly the better tight end. But like you said, I see both of their upsides slightly limited. And I don't know if I even like Ertz in the top 5 this year, just because they're both there. And like, I don't know. It's tough for me because they're both going to be involved, and I think the Eagles are going to add more weapons even in the receiving game. So yeah, I'm not high on Goedert in that range.
It's tough in a startup for me to take either Ertz or Goedert, because Ertz is going around the same place where I actually took Aaron Jones, and then Ertz went with the next pick, and I'm like, you know, take a running back in a premium offense or a tight end who's going to turn 30, you know, and that's a tough call. And then Goedert is going like 8th round, you know, and I'm just like, I just can't see it. You know, give me some of these other guys here.
They just don't need to shoulder on them, you know, as much as some of these other tight ends.
Here's the guy that I'm absolutely in love with right now. And I wanted to put him in tier 4. And I think I almost wanted to put him in tier 3. Irv Smith, 36 receptions, 311 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Doesn't sound at all like all that exciting. However, that's top 5 in the last 4 years as a rookie. He's 21 years old. He was 20 years old the entire season last year. 21 years old. Stephon Diggs is out, you know, and now we're entering, you know, an offense here where the tight end is going to be utilized. I think Irv Smith is going to pick up a boatload of those targets. He caught 36 of the 47 targets he had last year. I could see that 47 doubling. I'm not even lying. If that doubles, I mean, you're looking at a guy, a tight end who could catch 60, 70 passes. He was one of the most, you know, dynamic guys coming out last year. And it was He was in that tier with Hawkins and Fant, maybe slightly down below. And people forget about him because his numbers aren't gaudy, but his numbers are almost the same as what Hawkinson put out. But again, he's 21 years old and has much more of an athletic profile that you can get cheap right now. I mean, I told you I gave up Hunter Henry for him in a second. Today, I actually offered out 7 different trades for Irv Smith and got rejected on all of them, you know? And
people are starting to catch on a little bit.
In the Ultimate Podcast League, I drafted him and I actually had 6 offers in the next hour.
Yeah.
You know, like, because people had him on the radar because the dude's got breakout potential written all over him.
Yeah. And I mean, he put up 300 yards and 2 touchdowns on 36 receptions with less than 3 targets a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's crazy. So, I mean, that's going to go up. With Diggs gone, that's a big thing. I think that was what really put people over the edge for him was when Diggs left, it's just like, all right, who's gonna benefit from this? Probably Irv Smith. Hey, Kyle Rudolph could benefit from it, too. That doesn't help in Dynasty.
That was the surprising thing that Kyle Rudolph, you know, got the extension there after they took Irv Smith. But it's Irv Smith's going to be taken over, and I feel like Minnesota's going to draft another wide receiver. But again, just like we said, you know, where they're going to take – maybe Noah Fant's going to open things up a little bit because they're going to take a guy on the outside that can burn. They're saying the same kind of thing in Minnesota. They want to get somebody to stretch the defense, open things up for Dalvin Cook's running lanes, and make it so Irv Smith can have some big-time production across the middle. Another guy who was a rookie last year who I love, and I love buying rookie tight ends who showed a little bit of a glimpse, you know, just like Irv Smith, just like Dawson Knox. You know, Dawson Knox stats are not flashy, but again – 23 years old, 28 receptions, 388 yards, 2 touchdowns on 50 targets. So 3 targets a game, just like Irv Smith. And I want to, you know, I'm not trying to say he's going to go here yet, but Knox is almost the same exact size, the same speed score, identically, third round pick, almost identical stats his rookie year as Mark Andrews. Yeah. You know, we've been saying on the podcast, Buffalo wants to build an offense like Baltimore. Because Josh Allen is Lamar Jackson light. And I think this year, you know, I think Knox is going to become Mark Andrews light. And it might not be his breakout year, but I feel like big things and that value is going to increase quite a bit. That Ultimate Podcaster League, I took him in the 14th round. So I tripled up on upside tight ends rather than paying big bucks for Kittle or for Kelsey or for, you know, Evan Ingram. I took 3 guys who I think have a very high ceiling.
Yeah, and Dawson Knox is one of those guys that I really started loving last year. It was like halfway through the season, they started to use him a little more. And I watched Buffalo play in a few games, and it was just some of the catches he was making. Like, he's very athletic. And that's it. Just watching football, I can tell you, I think he's going to be a great tight end in the future. I mean, if you can make plays like that, they're going to start to trust you more and more. And, absolutely.
What we were talking about with Andrews and with Waller and – his average depth of target was 9.9, which is the same as Ebron and Gesicki, which shows you he is an athletic tight end. You know, he's a guy that gets down the field and makes things happen. And Dawson Knox, you know, go buy him. I know I just traded him in one of my leagues, but, you know, he's a guy you can go buy. And I think Irv Smith and Dawson Knox, you can get for a second round pick right now on the clock. You might have to add a little bit to Irv Smith, but those are guys that are going to be worth first round picks in a year, year and a half for sure. The next guy that I think you can buy for a second is Hayden Hurst. You know, Hayden Hurst came in the league really old. You know, he's 26, and you know, but he had a decent season. You know, as the number 2 tight end, and he had some injury problems. But 30 receptions, 349 yards, 2 touchdowns on 49 targets. Now he goes into Atlanta, where they had the vacated 95 vacated targets by Austin Hooper. Now we both think Calvin Ridley's going to get an uptick this year, but Hayden Hurst figures to be more involved. He's a very athletic tight end. He could be a tight end 1 this season.
He could. Yeah, and if I'm a contender, that's the cheap tight end that I'm buying to see, you know, if he produces this year, because he's still affordable. He's probably going to put up numbers. I don't know if he's going to put up the touchdowns that Hooper did. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But I do think he's going to get receiving yards, be reliable, and I like him here.
He is the Ginger Thor. The dude is ripped.
I never heard that one before.
No, it's I mean, I've heard Tyler talk about it. I've heard people talk about
it.
But you got it, dude. He's a monster. And the last guy on this list, you know, is more. He gets totally disrespected. Tom Brady's in town now. We got OJ Howard, 25 years old, 34 receptions, 459 yards, 1 touchdown, on 54 targets, and when Irv Smith came in the league, they're like, oh, it's another guy just like O.J. Howard. O.J. Howard came in the league and everybody loved him. He went 8th overall in the NFL draft and people fell in love with him and they overpaid for him. Now no one wants him because they have that negative stereotype where, I mean, Jameis Winston has never and probably will never target the tight end because he just wants to chuck it deep. You know, O.J. Howard is great in that intermediate range where Tom Brady thrives, you know what I mean? And O.J. Howard could have a really nice season and get an uptick in value here where O.J. Howard, you could probably buy for an early third, you know, late second, early third. And the upside is there. The draft capital is there. The athletic profile is there. I mean, what do you think of O.J. Howard?
Honestly, I feel like he's one of those guys, if you can get him really cheap for like a third round pick or something, then yeah, why not? But do I honestly want to vouch for him? Not necessarily, and the reason is because as long as he's in that offense, there is still going to be a certain amount of targets eaten up by Godwin, by Evans, and I'm feeling that they had a receiving running back this year.
In your consequence video for Deal or Duel, did you say anything nice about Chris Godwin?
I didn't, but he's still there.
I think he had to say, I heard it loud. He said he's an elite wide receiver one, you know? I feel like that probably hurt to say.
It did hurt a little bit.
So he might be in this tier six, and tier six I just have as a massive group, and I broke it into two sections where it's young upside guys and it's, you know, your old tight ends that you can buy on the cheap that are going to probably produce a little bit better than some of this young upside, but their value is not going to go up. So let's talk about
another thing
I
want to say about O.J. Howard, though, is those injuries. Sorry for taking it back to that. You transitioned that so nice, Mike. I apologize. But yeah, that's another thing with him is like he's got that whole Jordan Reed syndrome going on with the injuries. Him and Hunter Henry, you know, they got that crew. Tyler Eifert.
Let's talk about some of these older guys, you know, and the guy that I have it in here, I have Tyler Eifert, who you just said, Jack Doyle, Greg Olsen, Jared Cook, Jason Witten, Jimmy Graham, Kyle Rudolph, and Darren Fells. The two guys that jump out to me is Jared Cook. You know, he finished as the tight end 3 over the final 7 games last year, finished as a top 10 tight end. He's 33 years old. But if I'm a contender, I think I could give a mid-third and get him for some immediate production. We've been talking a lot about these guys with upside, you know. I mean, he's probably going to have a better season than Knox or Hurst or Smith or, you know, some of those guys because he's right now the number 2 target, maybe 3 if Kamara, you know, steps it back up. Greg Olsen's another one. You know, he goes to Seattle here. They love to target the tight end. Obviously, they have Disley there as well. But Greg Olsen could have a very nice season. Jack Doyle, Eric Ebron's gone. You know, I feel like Phillip Rivers loves to target the tight end. He's kind of more like a halfback. He could have an interesting season where I could see Jack Doyle catching 60 passes where you should be able to get him for a third as well. The other guys on this list, I feel like are fourth round kind of guys where you just like, all right, this is like rolling a dice, but maybe this guy produces a little bit. You know, Witten, Eifert, Graham, Rudolph, Fells, they all looked a little washed, but they still have some tight end. They still have some touchdown potential because they're professionals. You know, the way they play the game is they're going to trust their body a little bit less, but they've got the tricks of the trade down. You could give up fourth round picks for them, but, you know, what is your idea of this little group here? What do you see?
Well, I think if I'm on a contender, I'm definitely looking to buy Doyle because he's going to be cheap. I mean, I know you said something about you hit a guy up the other day about a trade for Doyle, and what'd he want?
he wanted me to give him Doyle, you know, he wanted Doyle like in a second for a 2021st. And it's like, those aren't the kind of moves you want to make. You don't want to be given up. These are the guys you can get these guys all as throw-ins, you know, in the right deal. They're just toss-ins to help your tight end position.
Yeah.
But Doyle's a sneaky guy where I feel like he finishes somewhere in that 12 to 16 range in tight ends. Yeah. But his value is nothing because he's 29 years old. You know, and he's like a poor man's Dallas Clark without a good quarterback.
He's one of those guys that could get replaced eventually, too. Yeah. So, like, in Dynasty, his value isn't great. But if I'm on a contender, I'm definitely targeting him. Blake Jarwin's kind of the same way.
I could say, this is the upside, guys. We're just talking about the old crusties right now.
Are we?
Talking about these old dudes. No. Well, let's go to Blake Jarwin, because Blake Jarwin was the guy we wanted to have in Tier 5. And it just, you know, right now, 25 years old, 31 catches, 365 and 3. Witten's gone. We've been talking pretty much all offseason that Blake Jarwin is a great buy for a third round pick and has the ability to be a tight end one because kind of like Goddard, you know, he went in a similar area. He's got a very good athletic profile, should be borderline tight end one this year.
Yeah, 2018, at the end of the year, he had that big breakout. Everyone was expecting next year that he was going to be the man. Then they brought Witten back. Yeah. And, it was what it was. But I think Jarwin's going to be a solid tight end two this year. Yeah. And he's going to be a nice buy low. People are starting to buy into him a little more, though. So. And there's,
I saw one particular website had them as their tight end 37. And I'm like, 37?
Yeah.
It's just that's just some disrespect there. But some other guys that, you're looking at, these guys are all in that 23 to 25 range, or 23 to 27. All of them, I think, can be bought for a third round pick. And it's Ian Thomas. He's shown some flashes his rookie year. He had 36 receptions. Last year, Olsen kind of cut into things. And then you're thinking, okay, this is his big breakout. And I saw him going for mid-second round picks. And now Robbie Anderson comes there. And how many targets legitimately is Ian Thomas going to get? He's kind of exciting, but not what he once was. I think that lost some of the luster. Chris Herndon, guy you love. I've been getting super late in startups, rounds 18, 19, where people just forget about him. But we've been talking about that list of the most receptions in the past 4 years. Herndon is fourth on that list with 39. He had a great rookie year. The DUI, the horrible quarterback play, the injuries, they really hurt him last year, but he's 24. And he, out of this list, is one of the most, exciting guys to have an opportunity.
I said that last year. It didn't work out. He wasn't on the field. But again, I'm putting my stamp on Chris Herndon. Of all the guys on this list, he is the top buy for me because he's going this late. And like you said, he almost half goes undrafted in startups. It's that close. So, he's one of those guys that I could easily see in a year or two slipping into the top 10. I am that high on him, and he is that athletic. Him and Dawson Knox, I'm going back to Knox here, but I just love those two. And this late, you can grab those guys. Grab them.
Another guy that goes late, I'm not quite as wild on, but he's got some upside. 24-year-old Jonnu Smith, 35, 439, and 3 last year. Delanie Walker, obviously gone. Tannehill seemed to target him fairly decently, but nothing super flashy there. Gerald Everett, 37, 408, and 2 last year. Had the injury. He looked better than Higbee 2 years ago, and I had him in a couple two tight end leagues and pushed him, but athletically, he has a little bit better profile than Higbee, but just he can't stay on the field.
He's a guy that if he went somewhere else, got traded or walked or something, after his contract, I could see him gaining some value, but he's more of a stash than anything.
Yeah, these other guys, Sternberger, he's a bit of a stash right now, but he's going to get an opportunity here. I feel like Green Bay might draft a guy, but he was somebody that I was pretty high on. The Packers were high on him. They took him in the third round. Another athletic profile. Foster Moreau, came through with the five touchdowns last year. He was a guy you could get fourth, fifth round. He might even still be in your, might be in your free agent list. Look at two other guys here that I feel are very polarizing. Eric Ebron is only 27 years old, and I know 2 years ago we're looking at 10-plus touchdowns with Indianapolis. Last year was not anything pretty. With only three touchdowns, but there was a lot of poor play going on in Indianapolis. Now he's moves to Pittsburgh, where he's going to be the tight end one above McDonald. A great red zone target. There's a possibility there he catches 8 to 10 touchdowns, and that's where his value lies. He's a super athletic touchdown machine, averaged over 9 yards at depth per target. He could be a sneaky buy, but don't overpay for him. The name has lost its luster, but Eric Ebron could have a sneaky good 2020 season.
Yeah, the way I see it is more so that Ebron and McDonald are just going to split time. They don't trust McDonald with injuries because he's had his issues too. They both do. So, you take two injury-prone tight ends and you get one that's going to make it, hopefully.
I always think back to Vance McDonald. That stiff arm. Remember that? Totally dominated that guy. He did it twice where he just had the most killer stiff arms I've ever seen. Now, a 23-year-old guy that used to be worth a first-round pick and now you can get for a third is David Njoku. And I know he was super raw coming out of Miami, and now he's the tight end two in Cleveland. So things, his value has really taken a hit. But he was the tight end 12, his rookie season. And last year, only played one game. He had 16 points in that game, caught a touchdown. I believe he had 4 catches, for 60 yards and that touchdown. He is an athletic freak. David Njoku could be spending some more time, as maybe that swing tight end, and has some potential. If you're talking a third round rookie pick, he's probably worth it.
I know he has that draft grade, but dude, again, this is another one that I'm just going to go back to watching him play in games. And I've seen him drop so many balls that I'm just like, man, I'm so turned off by him. I just don't think he's athletic. I don't think he's that great of a football player, to be honest. And I think they lost faith in him, and that's why they brought in Hoop. Yes, they do like to run. Stefanski's going to want to run two tight end sets. But, man, I just don't know if Njoku's it. I'm labeling him as a bust now.
For your tight end position now, let's do a little exercise here. One of the guys from the top, you know, one of the guys, I want you to pick one of our guys from tier three, which is Ingram, Waller, Hockenson, and Fant. One guy from tier four and one guy from tier five who you think is going to break out this season.
All right. Well, tier three, it wouldn't really be fair saying Evan Ingram because he did that his rookie year. I think that of those guys, I'm going to go with Noah Fant. I think Noah Fant has a big year next year. I think that Drew Lock is going to have that offense going. In the long run, I'd have no issue saying Hockenson above him, but I think just next year, Noah Fant's your man.
Totally agree. That's what I was going with. How about tier four?
Tier four.
Hooper, we got Henry, Higbee, Gesicki, and Goddard.
You know I'm going there.
You're going Higbee?
I'm going Higbee all the way on that one. He's my guy in that tier.
Yeah, I'm in agreement there. I think in a startup, I might take Gesicki really close to him. Now, the next tier, tier five, Irv Smith, Dawson Knox, Hayden Hurst, O.J. Howard, and let's throw Jarwin back up in there too.
Okay, I'm going Dawson Knox in that group. I love him. I think he's super athletic, and again, that offense is just getting better and better. I think with Stephon Diggs there, maybe they can get in the red zone even more and more touchdown opportunities. He should be their top red zone target.
Yeah, you know Dawson Knox is one of my biggest buys. I've been talking about Irv Smith probably too much in this episode, but that's my guy there. You know, Knox and Smith and Higbee. I mean, we're giving you guys some guys that you can go out there that are going to increase in value, that are going to help you win championships. And when you're on the clock in those third rounds, when you're in the clock in that second round and you're just, I'm not quite sure who these guys are, don't just pick a guy just to pick a guy. Talk to your league mates and say, hey, this pick's on the clock. You know, this pick's on the blocks here. Anybody interested in this? And you might be surprised. A guy might hit you up and say, I'm going to give you this player. And you're like, well, you know, why don't you give me Higbee for the 208? And they're like, yeah, you know what I mean? I don't think his upside's that high. And they might give it up. And you're going to have a tight end one, whereas as opposed to getting a back end, you know, wide receiver that's in that 15-20 range. And that's going to be a guy that helps you win a championship, you know? So just be able to navigate those rookie drafts. Don't be set on things that it has to be a certain way. Be open when you're on the clock. Take some time. Talk to your owners. And just that's why we talk about communication all the time. You know, who's interested in this pick here? I'm looking at a tight end. And you might be at 205 and someone might just throw you Irv Smith and a third because they really want to get up there and get Denzel Mims. You know, and you're like, geez, I did not expect that. You know, leave it open. Don't always target them, let them come to you, and you'd be surprised what people do in rookie drafts.
Absolutely.
It'll blow your mind. You're like, how did they think that was a good deal? You know, like, no way. So
the hype is real.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's our tight end landscape show. Thank you for tuning in, and you know, rise and refine those dynasty rosters.